Monday, 22 February 16, broadcast at the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. Sure hope you had good services this past Lord's Day. We're looking forward to a good week together with you in the precious Word of God. If you have time and have access to your Bible, turn over to Revelation chapter 2. We're looking at the letters to the seven churches in Asia and tying this to Ezekiel chapter 8, where the Lord said to Ezekiel when he brought him back to the land, he showed him why that God had to take the children of Israel into captivity. Now, we're wise if we learn from the mistakes, not only the Old Testament, but the ones in the New Testament as well. We see that the church at Ephesus, though there were many good things said about that church, they'd just cooled off. They'd left their first love. Thank God for the faithfulness of the folks in the church at Smyrna, how they had suffered, and they stayed true through that persecution. On the last broadcast, we were looking at the church at Pergamos, and they had a problem there in that they had those that held the doctrine of Balaam, that's the compromisers. They think you can just mix everything together. You know, it's Christian, they say, to mix everything together, trying to mix Christianity and Islam together. They won't mix, dear friend. And by the way, if you read the book of Daniel, if you're a student of the Word of God, and you read about Daniel's dream of the Gentile era, that great idol that was built, that great statue that was built, starting out with the Babylonian Empire, the head of gold, and then down to the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Grecian Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And then you get down to the very feet of that statue, and you have iron mixed with miry clay. Those are two unmixables. And I believe that the feet of that statue represent the end of the Gentile era, the end of the church age, and where, dear friend, we're trying to mix the unmixables. Dear friend, Christianity is not an eclectic religion. That is, it's not the result of picking the good out of this religion, the good out of that religion, the good out of one over here somewhere else. No, it stands alone. Our faith is based in nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And we dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Our authority is in the precious Word of God. In the English language, that's a received text known as the King James Version of the Bible. And we thank the Lord for it. I'm glad we have a solid rock foundation. The rock foundation of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is our foundation. And, dear friend, he has given us his word that is forever settled in heaven. God help us not to hold the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of compromise, thinking that somehow if we'll let down the standards, we can please God. Now, again, I told you just a few broadcasts back about a sad situation. A preacher was telling another preacher, who was a friend of mine, that he had decided just to let all the barriers down, drop the standards on separation, and just let it roll, so to speak, and take in anything and everything. And he built a big congregation. But then he came back, and he said, you know what, of God? He said, I got a church full of sin. And dear friend, that's sad. That's tragic. That's where the doctrine of Balaam, the doctrine of compromise, will lead us. And then he said they also had those that held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and God said, which things I hate. Now, there's not much said about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I kind of think it related to the priestly order, like you see in the, quote, high churches, like the Roman Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church and so forth, where you have bishops and popes and you have people over the, quote, laity. Dear friend, I'm glad that in Christ Jesus we all stand on level ground. We're all on level ground at the foot of the cross. Yes, I know we have different responsibilities, but none are superior to the other. No, we are one in Christ Jesus if we're saved. Now, he said to that church, you repent, you change your mind, change your direction, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the word of my mouth. I have heard and I have read some sad things. People who supposedly were fundamental Bible-believing Christians, and they grew tired and weary with their liberty that they have in Christ Jesus and go back to the high churches where they have all the ornateness and they have the robes and they have the high echelons of authority, the high echelons of power, And that's where they have gone. And I mean, they literally have. I think that's a tragedy. I think it's sad. I love the precious truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And to that I say hallelujah. Now, we go now to the church after we look at the church at Pergamos, and I know we're just rushing through this, but we go to the church in Thyatira in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel or the messenger of the pastor of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Now, he had some good things to say about them. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now we'll go on and read some other statements about the church at Thyatira, but here was a big problem. They had really let the flesh into that church. And some of the old writers believe that this woman that was teaching these things of the flesh was the wife of the pastor in that church. It doesn't say that. That to me, as far as I'm concerned, that's speculation. But I do know this. There was a powerful woman in that church, and she was a wicked woman. She called herself a prophetess. She equaled herself to the preacher in the church. And she would be the kind that would say, well, I'll tell you, I have as much authority to teach what I believe as he does or what anybody else does. And you know what she did? She taught God's servants to commit fornication. Isn't that awful? And remember now, help me preach now. What are the two things that go together, idolatry and immorality? Is that not what we have been trying to share in this recent series of messages? You'll find it in the life of Balaam and Balak, and you'll find it back in the history of the Old Testament. You'll find it there when the women were weeping for Tammuz. You'll find idolatry and immorality go together. And what do we find here in the church at Thyatira? To teach, she calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. There you have it, my friend. You've got the idolatry and you have got the immorality. They always go hand by hand. And God forbid, as we have said many, many times, God forbid when sin like this gets into the church. It got into the church at Corinth. It's so bad that Paul said that there was a man in that church, they were going to have to turn over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. An evangelist reported some time back that he had been in a church, I guess a number of times over the years, had good meetings and gotten to know the people. But he went back this one particular time. He said the church was cold, nothing was going on for God. And he noticed as he looked around that he saw familiar faces, but they were different groupings of them. And I look at the time, and I've got to cut this short. But what he found out was that two couples in that church had swapped wives. They had swapped wives. And so the wife that used to be over here is now sitting over here. And the wife used to be over here. The husband over here is over there. And dear friend, that had gone on, and the church hadn't missed a lick. Nothing evidently had been said about it. Nobody had raised up any opposition to it. And because of that, of course, the power of God was gone from that church. Well, dear friend, God help us to be faithful to him. We all face this matter of the flesh. May God give us grace to have victory over it, and may we do the best we can to keep the flesh out of the work of God. For holiness becometh thine house, O God, forever. Father, so grant it, we pray. May we not be like the church at Thyatira. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May our Lord bless each of us today and make us a channel of his blessing. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and serve Him. And please join us next broadcast if you can.